2 weeks ago, we started a brand new series of messages called To Be or Not To Be. Somebody say that's the question. You know, decisions really begin with a question. That's a great question to ask. We make an average as Americans of about 35,000 decisions every single day. Yet there's a handful of decisions in our life that will impact us in a tremendous way, not only us, but the people around us in our lives. And today, I want to talk to you about making the choice to be a person of integrity, understanding that integrity is no accident, and really talking about taking some time to absorb integrity, what it is and how we can live a life of integrity. Because the decision to be a person of integrity is one of the most important decisions you're ever going to make in your life. It's going to determine the type of legacy you leave, if what you build on is built on sand or if it's built on the solid rock. And so before we do, let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much for your word today. I thank you that it's alive and it's active and it's sharper than a two-edged sword. I thank you, Lord, that it's able to separate the soul from the spirit. And I thank you today that it is spirit and it is life. And I pray that the words spoken here today would not be the words of a man, but they would be your word, and they would release your spirit and increase your life in each and every one of us. I pray that the truth would set us free. I pray that strongholds would be broken. I pray that bondages would be shattered. And today, Father, if there be any person here that does not know your Son as their Savior, I ask this morning that before they leave, their name would be written in heaven, and they would have the blessed assurance of knowing Christ as their Savior and Lord. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it, and all God's people said, amen. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 20, verse 7, and just a very poignant and powerful scripture, and it says this, it says, the righteous man walks into his integrity. I love that everything that the Bible communicates to us about our relationship with God and others is that it's a walk. It's not static. It's something that is fluid and has motion to it. It says, the righteous man walks in his integrity. Now, a righteous person is a person in right standing with God, not only positionally, but practically. Yes, Jesus has done a work in your life, but it's starting to show up every day or in the people around you are seeing it, who you live, work, and play with, and they're seeing it in your words and your thoughts and your deeds. It says, the righteous man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. And so we see the value and the importance of living a life of integrity. Now, let's define what it means. Integrity very simply means the firm adherence to a code of moral values. It is incorruptibility. It is the quality of being honest or having strong moral principles. It is moral uprightness. Now, how many of you would agree with me that we live in a day and age in a society where we could use more integrity? You see many, many, many people, not only in business, but in politics and in the military and in the intelligence community who are now having to step aside because of a breach in their integrity. And it goes on and says this, integrity, the second part of that definition is that it's an unimpaired condition. It is soundness. It's the quality or state of being complete or whole. It's where we get the math term integer, which if you're a math whiz, then you know that that means a whole number. It's not divided. And so a person who is integrity or integrus is a person who is whole. There is no division in them between two things. And integrity is really making my daily actions line up with the values that are in my heart. Integrity simply means that if our private life was suddenly exposed, then we'd have no reason to be ashamed or embarrassed. Integrity means our outward life is consistent with our inner convictions. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 3 says, the integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. Think about that. The integrity of the upright will guide them. It literally keeps you on track. How many of you need help staying on track? I know I do from time to time. But the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. And so integrity is a system of values by which all of your life, everything you do, everything you say, everything you think, the way you conduct business, the way you conduct your life is judged by that system of values. It's a navigating system. It's something that guides us. And so you have two choices really in life. When it comes to this topic, you can either be like a weather vane. Y'all know what a weather vane is. You used to see them on top of a lot of barns on that cupola. Weather vane or a compass. Now, a weather vane changes the direction the needle is pointing depending on the force being exerted on it, which way it's coming from, depending on which way the wind is blowing. And there's a lot of people who make decisions that way. We can make decisions based on whatever's best for us at the moment, whatever is most desirable for our flesh at the moment, what makes you happy, what makes you feel good. We look for the easiest path. We can cut corners and compromise to get quick results and immediate gratification. We take shortcuts to get from where we are to what we want. We justify and rationalize all types of behavior that would have previously been unacceptable, but now we embrace them because we've justified it. We've made excuses. We've reasoned with ourselves, and over time, the erosion of truth has taken place, and we find acceptable things that we used to think were something we would never do. However, the needle on a compass is much different. It points the same direction all the time. It never, ever, ever changes. It pulls towards that magnetic north that we talked about last year. And so integrity is not a weather vane that blows constantly in the wind. Integrity is a compass. And people of integrity make decisions based on things that never change. They make decisions based on morality. They make decisions based on values and character and principles and ethics. Yet we live in a world where there is no moral absolutes anymore. There are no more rights. There are no more wrongs. Everybody's a winner. Everybody gets a participation trophy. I don't have time to get into that, but there's only what's currently trending as popular. There's situational ethics that we teach now. You do what feels right for you. Live your truth. Well, here's the problem with that. Truth is universal. The Bible says you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. I don't live my version of the truth. I don't get to decide what truth is and what truth isn't. Truth is unchanging. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth and the life. So we know that Jesus doesn't change every single day depending on what's going on. And that kind of climate in our nation is creating confusion. Our generation, as in all of our generation, is lost in decision making because the winds of change are blowing so strongly that the needle of that wind vane is spinning so quickly, they don't know which way to look. It's constantly changing with each news cycle. And again, what's trending is popular. And what we've got to do, church, is return to that which never changes. Like Psalm 119, 105 says, your word, O Lord, is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Psalm chapter 119, verse 30. The entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Let me break it down in layman's terms. This is the way I would need to understand it. It helps idiots have understanding. Because sometimes we're a little thick in the skull, right? You get me, don't you? It gives understanding to us. It helps us to not only receive, but perceive the ways of God, the things of God, and the life of God. And so we've got to be determined to guard our integrity and our morals and our values and our convictions, even when everyone and everything around you is changing. We cannot move with the crowd and still live a life that glorifies the King. Well, it's quiet in here today. I said we cannot move with the crowd and still live a life that glorifies the King. Romans chapter 12 verse 2 says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. You've got to embrace and live by God's standard. Now let me tell you, that is only possible through the power of the Holy Spirit. We cannot live in obedience to the word of God apart from him. They were designed to be interdependent. We need him to understand it, and we need him to obey it. That's what makes you and I light. Somebody say light. See, the Bible is not a book of principles that we can pick and choose through like a buffet. Yeah, I'd like a little bit of that, and I'll leave that there, and I'll have some of that later. The Bible is all or nothing. When we got into this thing, we came into it by calling Jesus Lord or Master, which means he gives the instructions and the commands, and we're the ones who are to obey them. And it's important to keep that in our understanding of this walk and relationship with God, that these are not suggestions. See, living with integrity will cost you. Living with integrity is the narrow road that Jesus talked about. He said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. It's an easy path. Everybody's on it. He says, because the narrow gate, the narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are how many? Few who find it. And so what we've got to understand is that God has called us to live committed lives in an uncommitted world. He's called us to live committed lives in an uncommitted world. We live in a world that lacks commitment desperately. We see it in marriages. We see it in relationships. We see it in businesses. We see it in the church. And to live a life where we maintain our values that He's given us in a world that has no concrete values. For us to be people of integrity, we've got to have non-negotiable values in our life. In other words, my value system is not for sale. There is no price tag on certain things in my life. These are convictions. And convictions give us fortitude. In other words, they strengthen our spine so that we can stand up. They are the things that we stand for. I love the old saying, if you stand for nothing, you will fall for anything. I think we could go a step farther and say, if you fight for nothing, then you stand for nothing. The things we're committed to. In 1994, there's a story of a golfer by the name of Davis Love III. Some of you might know this story. He called the one-stroke penalty against himself in the Western Open. He had moved his marker on the green to get it out of another player's putting line. One or two holes later, he couldn't remember whether or not he had moved his ball back to the original spot. He was unsure, so he gave himself an additional stroke. As it turned out, that one stroke caused him to miss the cut and get knocked out of the tournament. If he had made the cut and finished dead last, he would have earned $2,000 for the week. When the year was over, Love was $590 short of making the cut to go to the Masters. And he began in 1995 needing to win a tournament to get into the event. And when asked how much it would bother him if he lost going to the Masters by calling a penalty on himself, his answer was simple. How would I feel if I won the Masters and wondered for the rest of my life if I had cheated to get in? This story had a happy ending. The week before the 1995 Masters, he qualified by winning a tournament in New Orleans, and then he won the Masters. He finished second in the winnings, $237,600. That's integrity. That's doing the right thing. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 9 says, he who walks with integrity walks securely. See, integrity secures my path, but he who perverts his ways will become well known. And so there's advantages to living with integrity. For one, the blessing of God is upon this life choice. And I want to show you some things that people of integrity do to help you understand it and begin practicing these principles. The first is very simply this, that people of integrity are the same on the inside as what people see on the outside. And in a world that is full of facades, don't even get me started on social media. That is not who you are. But in a world that is full of facades, people are craving the real. People are looking for what is real. The Bible says in John 1:47, as Jesus walked up to Philip, he said, now here's a genuine son of Israel, a man of complete integrity. I don't think Jesus ever paid anyone a bigger compliment than that right there. He called Philip a man of complete integrity. In other words, a man who is undivided. He was what he was. It is what it is. And people of integrity and character are the same no matter who they're with, no matter what's going on around them, they're the same. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul tells Timothy when he goes and looks for people who will serve in the churches, he said that the deacons couldn't be double-tongued. In other words, they couldn't be one way in front of some people and another way in front of other people. Why? Because it causes confusion. For all of you who serve on Team VC here, I thank God for you. You are the lifeblood of this ministry and what makes ministry possible. But in every one of the ministry's manuals, it emphasizes the importance of being real. It emphasizes the importance of living your decision to follow Jesus Christ so that you don't become a stumbling block to other people who are watching you. Because if you're running the bars on Saturday night and you're singing He Is Risen on Sunday morning and they come in to see you, it creates confusion. They're like, wait, I don't know which one you are. Right? And so we've got to be that way. That applies to every area of our life. Secondly, people with integrity know that little things count. Somebody say little things count. Song of Solomon 2:15, kind of a funny little scripture. It says, the little foxes spoil the vines. In other words, it's a principle. The little things are what do the biggest damage. It's the slow erosion. It's the slow chipping away. It's not these massive failures at one time. It's the little by little chipping away and picking away. See, our integrity is rarely lost in just a moment. It's the slow distortion of truth. They've discovered that the Titanic was not sank by one massive gash, but by a series of six small slits that eventually overwhelmed the ship. I can talk about that now that I'm off of one. We were on the biggest ship in the world. And it's the same with us today. I want you to think about that. We don't just wake up one day and make a colossal mistake that ruins years of our lives. But little by little, we let Satan slip in and peck away at our integrity until we have a moral failure. And it's important that we guard those things, that we don't take the small breaches in our character as something that's small, but we take them seriously and we respond to them aggressively. I'm talking about warning signs right up front, like inability to forgive or inability to receive instruction from authority or lack of awareness to what's going on in our life and our relationships. We need to be aware. I'm talking about things like tardiness. Are you constantly late? Are you unable to finish things by deadlines? Is there sloppiness there or a failure to follow through and see things through to completion? Those type of things, those type of character breaches are just small buds that begin to show up in our life. And when we don't take care of the little things, all of a sudden big things start showing up. There is no one big ticket to success in your life. It's taking care of the little things. It's doing ordinary things extraordinarily well. It's paying attention. The Bible says that God's numbered the very hairs of your head. He's a God of detail, and He wants us to be the same. As a matter of fact, in the book of Daniel, the Bible says that the king, Darius, had set Daniel over all these what they called satraps, under rulers, maybe 120 of them. And they didn't like that. They wanted to get rid of him, and they began to look into Daniel's life. And they begin to look for flaws and things that they could highlight so that they could mudsling and take him down. And here's his enemy's testimony of his life. It says, then the other administrators and high officers begin searching for some fault in the way Daniel was handling government affairs. But they couldn't find anything to criticize or condemn. He was faithful, always responsible, and completely trustworthy. In other words, he wasn't stealing stamps from the business. He wasn't taking home paper clips before he ended up walking off and embezzling $347,000. It's the little things there. See, people of integrity, they fess up when they mess up. That's a great indicator of whether or not we're a person of integrity. They own their mistakes. David said when he failed with Bathsheba, he said in Psalm 51:3, I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is always before me. He had an eye on it. He knew it and he admitted it. People of integrity own their actions. They're not blame shifting. They're not looking for somebody else to put it on. They take the responsibility for what they've done wrong, and then they take the steps to make it right. We've got to learn, church, to apologize when we're wrong. It's so simple, but you know what? It goes so far in relationships. Apologies are relationship lubrication. Like trying to run your engine with no oil in it. It's not going to last very long. It'll last a little while. But we've got to be people who are quick to apologize and make things right. Another area this brings up is people of integrity don't cover things up. Their life is not a constant cover-up. I watch people who live that way. It has devastating effects upon them and their families. People of integrity do what they say they'll do. That's an important one. They do what they say they'll do. Psalm 15, verse 1 in the New Living says, who may worship in your sanctuary, Lord? Who may enter your presence on your holy hill? And it goes on and says in verse 4, those who keep their promises even when it hurts. In other words, if you say you're going to do something, even if it costs you and it ends up hurting, you need to keep your word. You need to learn to swear to your own hurt. This is godly. God keeps his word. Let me say that again. God keeps his word. Is God's word to us good? Absolutely. He is God and he keeps his word. That makes us godly when we keep our word. There is an action behind what we say. Integrity is what gives weight to our words. Let me just give you some help this morning. If people don't listen when you're talking, they may not respect you. And so integrity restores respect and it begins to give weight to our words so that when we talk, people value what you have to say and they begin to listen. Jesus said it like this. He said, let your yes be yes and your no be no, for anything more than these comes from the evil one. In other words, people of integrity say what they mean and they mean what they say. People of integrity are honest. Somebody say honest. You know, we hear companies name that and it's a catchphrase or a word that's used very cliche and thrown around as a sales point. But honesty, people are looking for honesty. Proverbs 12:22 says, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are his delight. God delights in truthfulness. And honesty is a big point for me. A matter of fact, it's so big that I have taught Anna and Zoe, if you hide it, if you cover it up, if you keep it, or if you lie about it, you know what's coming. Why? Because I'm cultivating a culture in my home where they are rewarded for honesty, where they are rewarded for openness, and they are rewarded for transparency. They understand that it's the same with God. Unlike Adam and Eve, do not run from God when you fail. Run to him. Human nature runs from mommy and daddy. Fair enough? We don't want to get caught putting our hand in the cookie jar, do we? Yet in Christianity, God says, when you fail, come to me. I'm the only one who can fix it. Covering it up will never fix it. I've never met anybody yet who lives in the shadows and walks in the light. Let me try that again. I've never met anybody yet who lives in the shadows and walks in the light. If you're willing to cover up one thing, you're willing to cover up most anything else. It's just a matter of time. John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus said it like this. I'm the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Secrecy gives Satan a place to operate. So don't be shady. Somebody look at your neighbor and tell him, don't be shady. Come on, tell your other neighbor, don't be shady. People of integrity pursue accuracy. In other words, we don't exaggerate. God cannot bless your exaggeration. If you caught a fish this big, don't go telling people it was Moby Dick. Kevin. Tell the truth. Be honest. God will bless what you got. Little is much when God's in it, amen? I mean, the little boy didn't come up and say, God, man, I've got Old Country Buffet sitting over here. He said, no, I got an extra value meal, extra crispy from Long John Silver's. I got 5 loaves and 2 fish. He didn't make it more than it was. God made it more than it was. Okay, so we've got to be a people of integrity. Psalm 25:21 says, may integrity and honesty protect me, for I put my hope in you. People of integrity avoid wrongdoing in every arena of life. We avoid wrongdoing in every arena of life. We don't even give grounds for people to talk about something. That's important. Who was it? Bonnie Raitt that sang, let's give them something to talk about. Is that who it was? Yeah, no, we don't want to do that as believers. We avoid wrongdoing in every arena of our lives. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 21 and verse 20 says this, taking every precaution against scandal. We as believers need to build lives where we take precaution against every scandal. We don't want anyone suspecting us of taking one penny of this money for ourselves. We're being as careful in our reputation with the public as in our reputation with God. Another thing people of integrity do is people of integrity live like they're being watched. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13 says, nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes, and he is the one to whom we are accountable. People are watching you. People you don't even realize are watching you. And the thing is, they're repeating the pattern or the footsteps that you're placing in front of them. People of integrity not only are people who live like they're being watched, but they're people who have tremendous influence. And influence is the most valuable commodity that we have, church. Influence is the greatest thing we can use to build the kingdom and bring God glory and leave a legacy that outlives us. In Acts chapter 6, verse 3, when the Bible says that they were looking for people to serve and take care of the business in the church, the Bible says the number one thing they looked for in these guys were men of good reputation. Reputation is important. It matters. Leadership standards that Paul gave Timothy and Titus on who was to lead, who was to oversee, who was to serve in the churches. I want you to think about these lists if you've ever read them. Not one time did he mention anointing. Not one time did he mention gift. Not one time did he mention the call. Not one time did he mention their results. Everything he said that would qualify or disqualify them to be a part of ministry was character and integrity and related to reputation. That's how important it is. Very simply because influence has nothing to do with a title, nothing to do with a position, nothing to do with visibility, and everything to do with what's in your heart and showing up on the outside in your life on a day in, day out basis. People of integrity make a lasting impact and they leave a legacy. And that's what we want. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 2, the prophet Samuel at the end of his life, at the end of serving, here's what he says. He says, your king is now your leader. He said, I stand here before you, an old gray-haired man, and my sons serve you. I'm a gray-haired man, but I'm not that old. It's bad when you start getting sunburned on top of your head. You know you're thinning. Why are you laughing? Huh? Oh, yeah, because you sprayed it. She sprayed suntan lotion, Calvin, on my head. Now testify against me in the presence of the Lord and before his anointed one. Look at what he asks. Whose ox or donkey have I stolen? Have I ever cheated any of you? Have I ever oppressed you? Have I ever taken a bribe and perverted justice? Tell me and I'll make right whatever I've done wrong. And here's what they said. No. No, you have never cheated or oppressed us, and you have never taken even a single bribe. It is possible to live your life, answer your call, obey and express your gift, finish your race with no regrets. That's possible because of integrity. And people of integrity are tremendously valued. They're in high demand. There's a man by the name of Warren Buffett. Many of you know who he is. He's a billionaire businessman who's one of the most widely respected authorities on investing and business and success in the industry. He was speaking to a group of MBAs, a group of people who had earned a master's of business administration, and they asked him, what do you consider when you're hiring? And he said, I really look at three things. Number one, I look for personal integrity. He said, number two, I look for intelligence. I want people that are constantly willing to learn. And he said, number three, I want someone of high energy. He said, but if I had to choose just one, I would choose personal integrity because the other two are of no value without it. Integrity is essential for us. Living with integrity doesn't happen by accident. Godly character is established deliberately and intentionally. Daniel chapter 1 verse 8, he said, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. It was purposeful. It was intentional. Integrity doesn't choose you. You choose integrity. Integrity is a daily decision to live by the word of God, to live what you learn, to show what you know. See, you don't become great by accident. I'm going to go as far as to say, nobody's even born great. We're all born the same. The difference is what you know and begin to put into practice in your life. Can I tell you today, church, you know what there is to know. You know the success formula. You know your way to victory. You know the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. You know the one who gives you the ability to finish stronger than you started. You know the one who makes your path like the light of dawn that's growing brighter and brighter until the fullness of day, which means today is the least anointed I ought to ever be. Today's the least amount of joy I ought to ever have. Today's the least amount of peace I ought to ever know. Every single day, ever increasing, ever growing, becoming stronger in the Lord. There's someone here today that is feeling condemnation. Stay on your feet because of everything I've talked about. That is not God. I'm telling you right now, you might have regrets right now. Some of these things I pointed out may have addressed in your life things that you've been doing that maybe you shouldn't have done. Maybe you've excused and justified and taken the easy path. I come to tell you the entire point of this moment was so that you can flip the switch and say, I choose to be a person of integrity starting now. It's never too late. If there's breath in your lungs, it's never too late to begin a good testimony. Because here's what I know. I serve a God of restoration. And the time Satan stole, he's able to give back. I don't care if you got a few years of your life left. You can do more living with God than you ever could have without him. And he is able to restore and bring back everything you feel like you've lost. Somebody say, I choose to be a person of integrity. Come on, say it like you mean it. Say it with conviction. I choose to be a person of integrity. I choose to be a person of integrity. Integrity is the foundation of everything great God does. God wants to do something great in you and through you and in us and among us. And church, we're in the midst of him doing it, and we don't want to stop it. We don't want to be like Achan. We don't want to touch what God said don't touch. We want to be a people moving with him and not against him. We want to increase the flow and not become a blockage. We want to be a people that God can build upon in Jesus' name. We want to be the foundation that our region will be saved as a result of the people who are willing to be spiritually disciplined and start living out what they learn in the pages of that book. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to ask you a very simple question. Do you know God? Do you know God? It's the reason why Jesus came. He came to this earth so that you could know God. God wants you to know him. He wants a relationship with you. He wants to communicate with you. He wants to bless you. He is a father greater than any you've ever had. Sin is what separated us from that. That's why Jesus came. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Not one person here can look down their nose at anybody else. Whether you've only committed one sin in your life or whether you've committed a million a week, we were all lost in sin and needed a Savior. And that's why Jesus came. And salvation and knowing God begins with very simply saying, Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for my sin, and 3 days later, you're raised from the dead, that you're alive today. And I declare that you're my Lord and you're my Savior. I turn to you right now. It's that simple. It begins like any other friendship. It begins like any other relationship. It begins with, hello, my name is. Just a conversation. That's what prayer is. There's someone here today that doesn't know God like I'm talking. You're not saved. Matter of fact, you feel far from God. Maybe you walked with him at one time, but you've let compromise creep in and crowd him out. Friend, today is your day to come home. No matter who you are, if you want to know him and begin a relationship with him today, or renew a relationship with him today, I'm going to count to three. And when I do, if that's you, nobody's looking, I want you to shoot your hand up so I know who I'm praying with. Josh, today I want to begin a relationship with God. 1, 2, 3. Thank you for your honesty. Is there someone else here today?